It's time to go back to Battlefield. What's up, everyone? Random Alec here. Welcome to episode 3 of the Back to Battlefield podcast. I'm your host, as usual, and we have our co-host here, Infidel.
Hey, guys. I'm back.
Today, we got a lot to talk about, really. We're going to go into the Battlefield 4 beta, and then just this morning, they released the new Armored Kill trailer featuring some new gameplay and everything. But let's talk about Infidel's favorite topic for now, which is the Battlefield 4 beta.
Yeah.
Basically, a few days ago, someone noticed on Battlelog or the Origin online store, whatever, it was obviously a PC player. He was looking around and he found a banner that advertised that if you pre-order Medal of Honor Warfighter, you will get access, guaranteed access, to the Battlefield 4 beta, which is expected next fall 2013. So as soon as this guy found this information on the internet basically blew up. Obviously, the Battlefield community is what we're referring to. Everyone was freaking out. How could you release another Battlefield game already? You know, Battlefield 3 is still getting DLC and all that. And basically, a day after all that happened, on Reddit, a Battlefield 3 community manager by the name of Crash7800, he posted an article just explaining real quick that the beta will take place in the fall of next year. They don't have a release date for Battlefield 4. They'll still continue to support Battlefield 3, and they have a completely separate team working on the Battlefield 4 game right now, so it's not interfering with any content that's going to come out for Battlefield 3. And there's a bunch of other things on there. We'll obviously have a link to that in the show notes of this podcast. But, I mean, what do you think about this, Infidel? What do you think about the Battlefield 4 beta?
Yeah, suddenly it's my favorite thing ever, according to you. I really couldn't care less myself. Battlefield beta, I did not play any beta for Battlefield 3. And I don't plan on playing the Battlefield 4 beta. That's basically my thought. I'm just not interested.
Yeah, I mean, I reacted to this in my own way, obviously. I just don't go on the internet and, you know, flip out about it. I think it's fine. In this Reddit post, they also clarified that, you know, as far as DICE making a new Battlefield game, this is happening 2 years after Battlefield 3 released, and that's usually what they've been doing. You know, they clarify that, and, you know, they're saying, you know, hey, we think it's fine that we're coming out with a new Battlefield game already. You know, we're not abandoning Battlefield 3. Although that's something I don't trust 100% because, you know, there's no developer that makes a new game and still takes care of the old game. That almost never happens, but we'll see. But besides the point, I am pre-ordering Medal of Honor either way, so I will have that Battlefield 4 beta. Now, the other thing, when I read about this at first, considering it was discovered on the Origin online store, you know, for PC gamers to download games through there and everything, I do think that this Battlefield 4 beta and announcement, you know, besides the fact that it was obviously towards the PC players, I do think the console version of the Battlefield 4 beta is going to be on the next-gen consoles because supposedly, you know, there's been leaked documents about the Xbox 720 or the Xbox Next or whatever it's going to be called, and apparently that's going to release next year for sure. So, you know, that's my thing. I think right now the Battlefield 4 beta, they're just talking about it for the PC version, and they're just not clarifying that. And I think, you know, you're going to be playing the Battlefield 4 beta on the next-gen consoles. It's not going to be, you know, on the current Xbox, and if anything, I don't think Battlefield 4 is going to release on the current gen Xbox because I just don't think they could do any more than what they've already done with Battlefield 3. I don't see any, like, further improvement on the Frostbite engine or anything with this same hardware that's available now.
What do you think Battlefield 4 is going to be? Is it going to be an actual sequel to Battlefield 3, or is that just what they're calling it for now? Maybe it's going to be another World War II shooter for Battlefield. Maybe it's going to be another Bad Company.
Well, that's the other thing I actually wanted to talk about because, I mean, my definition of another Battlefield game as of right now, you know, from what I see, what they've done with Battlefield 3, and obviously, you know, the history of the Battlefield franchise, I think in Battlefield, in the case of Battlefield and making another game, it's going to be bigger is better. So, you know, if they make Battlefield 4 right off the bat, I'm going to expect, you know, the same amount of weapons they have now. It could be the same exact weapons. You know, that obviously depends, because developers usually take out some weapons because they say, oh, you know, 2% of the players were really using this, so we'll take it out. I don't like it when they do that, but I would just expect, you know, the same amount of weapons as Battlefield 3 has right now, including all the DLC that's going to come out, and, you know, just more content, more maps, bigger maps, a lot more weapons, a lot more customization. You know, they're doing a lot of good things with Medal of Honor Warfighter right now. You know, I've been looking at some gameplay for it, and it does look a lot better than Battlefield 3 already. You know, they developed the Frostbite engine a little for that game. But again, I think after Medal of Honor even, they're not going to be able to make Battlefield 4 for the current Xbox and, you know, make it look like a big difference from Battlefield 3. I don't think so, at least.
The game I would like to see as Battlefield 4 would be another World War II shooter. Maybe Battlefield 1944. Because Now that Call of Duty and Battlefield have left the World War II thing behind, but now there really are no modern World War II shooters, so it would be a change of pace again.
Right, that's true. I mean, I think everyone, especially, you know, Battlefield players that initially started on Battlefield 1942, which was the first Battlefield game ever, like myself, I mean...
That you talk about all the time?
Yeah, because I'm telling you, that was such a huge game. It was so different. You were actually, you know, just like Battlefield is right now on Battlefield 3, you could be either on the ground and, you know, you're a small-scale infantry soldier on the ground, you know, shooting people, close quarters, knifing them and everything, and then all of a sudden you're in an airplane flying over the entire map. Like, that was amazing to do, and that's something that, you're right, if they go back to 1943 and all that with an entire game dedicated to history like that, it would be great. I think it still would be a great game nowadays. I mean, people always enjoy playing games that are also based on history instead of just being, you know, futuristic and let's have laser weapons and all that stuff.
The only reason developers are sticking with Modern Warfare is they can write history. They don't have to go by what already happened.
Exactly. That's true. Yeah, I've heard that before. You know, that it's much easier to make new content and, you know, they pull things out of their brains or their butts, in other words. But yeah, I mean, I want to talk about other games that are going into the modern thing now and doing a terrible job at it, but, you know, this podcast is dedicated to Battlefield, so we'll keep it at that. But the other thing people are saying on the internet is they want to see a new Battlefield 2142. You know, they'll obviously name it similar to what they did with the arcade version of Battlefield 1942, is they'll do 2143 would be the new Battlefield game or whatever, and that'll be really futuristic based. You know, you have drones, you have robots that you could get into, robots that you could control, etc.
You know, I'm sure basically they'll do that since Black Ops 2, Call of Duty Black Ops 2 is going to be modern, like future warfare, now Battlefield has to catch up with them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Battlefield has to catch up with them, but unfortunately, you know, they're going to have that mentality. You know, they said that before Battlefield 3 even came out, that they're looking to compete heavily with Call of Duty. So that will probably happen as well, but I don't care for extreme futuristic stuff like that, because I think, honestly, you're taking away from the actual skill of the player and, you know, using weapons and knowing how to handle those weapons and everything, because, you know, you're just relying on a drone and you're basically playing a video game within a video game at that point, because you're driving around a drone and just, you know, shooting rockets at an enemy that you could have shot with, like, you know, a 9mm bullet that's coming out of that same drone, but instead you hit them with a freaking barrage of rockets. But, I mean,
within a video game.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, that's what it becomes. You know, your soldier is holding a controller in his hand, and then you're holding the controller, you know, outside of the game, and it's just like a ladder. And then you're controlling a drone within the game. But, I mean, yeah, the Battlefield 4 beta next year, I think it's going to end up being on the next-gen consoles. Again, so far, all the discoveries and everything about the Battlefield 4 beta, They are advertising it in new trailers. You're going to see it later on when we get into the new Armored Kill trailer. They also throw it in there that if you pre-order Medal of Honor, you get the Battlefield 4 beta. But I really don't see it being on the current gen consoles. I think that would not be a big improvement from Battlefield 3. But, I mean, who knows? We'll see what DICE does. I would prefer for it to be released on the next gen console and be, you know, one of the pilot games that's available. But, I mean, we'll see what they do. I really don't know. So, now, let's get into the Battlefield 3 Armored Kill gameplay. This was an amazing trailer to watch. I'll start off with that because, I mean, it's only a minute and 46 seconds in length. Less than that because, you know, they actually have the fancy logos and everything in the beginning and the credits at the end. But this trailer is amazing. I mean, you could show this to your friends and family, and they'll probably want to play Battlefield 3 without a doubt.
This is truly my favorite, going to be my favorite DLC. I just know it already.
Yeah, I mean, just to give you guys a couple of details, as I said earlier, the gameplay trailer for Armored Kill released this morning over on Battlelog. And it shows off, you know, the similar vehicle mayhem from the trailers we've seen before. They confirmed that it features 5 new drivable vehicles, including the mobile artillery, tanks, and ATV, complete with over 20 vehicle-specific unlocks, which will obviously be catered to those vehicles. I doubt the ATV will actually have any unlocks, but I guess we could get into that.
Maybe we can have some 50 cals on it.
Right, right. You unlock some, you know, maybe some rocket launchers that shoot out of the front.
That would be so awesome.
Yeah, some James Bond action there. But the other things are players will have the ability to spawn in the all-new gunship and rain death from above. We already knew that. You know, they're referring to the AC-130. Battlefield 3 Armored Kill also introduces a brand new mode to the franchise, which is Tank Superiority. Now, this is something, before I read off the rest of the details, I noticed right away in the trailer and in the descriptions that they say it's a brand new game mode. And I mentioned this to Infidel, and you know, it seems like Tank Superiority is going to be the only new game mode with this DLC.
Which I am not surprised by. I believe they don't really have to add anything else, because with the gigantic maps, all they really need is Tank Superiority, Conquest Domination, Conquest Assault, and just Conquest.
Right, and that's something we actually talked about in the last podcast, because they mentioned, but they have it listed for the Armored Kill details now that all the maps they're adding in this DLC will be playable on the, you know, vanilla 6 game modes that are available in Battlefield 3 right now.
Okay, on the topic of the AC-130, since we now know that the spawning is immediately dropping out and the parachute spawn, this really makes no sense to talk about, but I was thinking to myself, if they had made it so you spawn in the personnel bay, it would be great, because you could probably repair the AC-130 from inside the personnel bay. So that's a very that's something they missed out on, basically.
Right. I mean, it makes sense. Again, you know, I think it's a huge disappointment to have that massive vehicle. You know, like I said in the last podcast, you know, who knows how big of a struggle it is to capture that point that spawns the AC-130, but I'm sure it's going to be a big deal to keep it controlled and everything. And, you know, after all that struggle and everything, it's just going to end up being the first two guys that spawn in the AC-130 to control the guns, and then everyone else is going to be left spawning out in the open air, you know, in a parachute already, and then you just drop in, because it is going to be a parachute drop. And I think that's, I don't think that adds any experience at all to fight over the AC-130 and everything, and then just, you know, end up in a parachute in the air when you spawn on it.
I wonder what the health system on the AC-130 would be. I mean, how much damage do you think it could take?
I have no idea, but looking at this trailer, I mean, it takes a beating, to be honest.
And maybe we'll see some AC-130 unlocks.
Yeah, I mean, I expect there to be unlocks on the AC-130. I don't think... Well, I'm sure they'll have the flares right off the bat available, probably.
Yeah, I don't think the unlocks will be weapons-based. I think
right, just defensive type of things. I mean, maybe some type of ECM jammer system that can make it invisible for some time. You know, something similar to that.
Maybe unlocks for the AA guns.
Right. I mean, even thermal armor would be great. You know, that just lasts for about 5 to 10 seconds. You could use it while you're about to, you know, rain some damage on a flag or something to help out your teammates. But, yeah, that would be great. I do expect them to have unlocks for the AC-130, but who knows? I mean, the best we know is if it's about to release, you know, the DLC, and they basically tell us everything that will be available detail by detail. But the other thing you see in the trailer is a new map, which is the snow-capped Alborz Mountain. And then, obviously, the other half of the trailer is content that we've seen before, which is from Bandar Desert, the largest battlefield map in history.
And in Bandar Desert, it seems that there will be some partial snow.
Right. This is something we talked about in the last podcast as well, because we noticed they posted an image of the AC-130. What we suppose was Bandar Desert, because at that point they hadn't said anything about any new maps yet. And it seems, you know, Infidel was trying to explain to me that Bandar Desert is going to be a desert, just as the name implies, but as you go up into the mountains, you know, we're not sure if you'll be able to actually go there as infantry or in land vehicles, but if you do look off into the mountains or you fly over there with an airplane, it will be snow-capped, you know, covered mountains.
And I know what everybody's going to say, oh, it's a desert, there's no snow. Well, go look at some pictures from Afghanistan in the middle of the winter.
Right, that's exactly what you told me. I mean, which I knew that, you know, it's true. Over there in the winter, you know, the actual desert areas are still, you know, desert, and then you have the snow-capped mountains, which is pretty much what it looks like Bandar Desert is going to be, which, by the way, is based in Iran, which is why they took the step to, you know, create these new maps in Armored Kill that are going to be based in those areas, because, you know, it makes sense. The rest of the game is based in those areas, and so is the single player. So it made sense to add, you know, the biggest map in Battlefield history based in that same area. Now, let's talk about the details of the trailer, because I'm sure you have a lot to say. You watched it before me. You took a look at it about 10 times at least, and I only looked at it about 2 or 3 times. So give us an idea of everything you noticed in the trailer.
Well, I'm going to start with how great the snow looks. And in the... What's the name of the snow map?
Alborz Mountain.
Yeah. In Alborz Mountain, the trees and the snow, they just look amazing for the battlefield, for battlefield maps. Maybe they put most of their work into that and the map will be horrible. But basically, graphics look very nice with the snow. Haven't really seen that yet. I saw some new guns that I really don't know about that I haven't seen already, so those are probably part of the assignments. Obviously, all the new vehicles, including the mobile artillery, which is going to be basically an LAV with a tank cannon on it. It has all the seats with the machine guns covering all around. How many seats are in an LAV?
It's 5 seats from what I noticed in the trailer.
And it'll just be an LAV, but instead of a 20mm cannon and machine gun or automatic rocket launcher thing, it will be a tank cannon that should be more powerful than a tank, seeing that they are tank destroyers. And the artillery, I haven't really seen much except for the Russian rocket artillery vehicle.
Right. I had noticed in the... you know, when you were talking about that LAV, I noticed the occupancy and all that, because in the trailer, you know, we'll point it out in the visual version of the podcast so you guys get an idea of what we're talking about. They do show off what looks to be a Russian new tank destroyer, and I told Infidel about it off of the podcast, and I immediately freaked out because I thought it was an actual tank, and I noticed that the front of it had the reactive armor on it. But it's the way Infidel just explained. It's actually, you know, the platform of an APC or an LAV, whatever you want to call it. And it just has, you know, a tank cannon basically on the top of it. So it's quick, it's light, it's easy to destroy, which is a bad part about it. But you have that firepower to probably flank a tank and take it out without it even touching you.
Another thing I noticed was I talked about... wanting an extinguisher for ground vehicles in one of the earlier podcasts. I forget which it was. But in the trailer, I do see a ground vehicle, which I believe it was a tank destroyer, that had an extinguisher.
Right, that's the first thing you pointed out to me when I was hopping on to see the trailer. And that's awesome to see. Now, the thing we thought about, or I had asked you, is I wonder if that'll be added, you know, if it's something that'll be just for LAVs and APCs, or it will be available for tanks as well.
Well, they said that they were adding new unlocks to the base vehicles, so I assume that will be one of the unlocks.
Right. I mean, that would be amazing, to be honest, because, you know, the air vehicles have that, and, the air vehicles are a lot more vulnerable because they're flying in the air, and once they catch fire, you know, most people land. I've done it myself personally, but that depends on the map. I mean, the only map I've really landed on as an engineer, you know, flying the jet to repair myself is on Caspian Border or Operation Firestorm. That's pretty much it. But
and if you're not doing that yourself, you're telling me to, and I end up crashing and killing us both.
Right. That never works out either. But to see that available in tanks, see that's something. I'm sure I've mentioned it before. If they're gonna add content to Battlefield 3, it has to be things like that are gonna completely change the dynamic of the battles. You know, depending on what vehicle you're in and what unlocks you have, having, you know, at least 5 more unlocks available for the vehicles that are already in Battlefield 3 is a great thing, because it's going to change the dynamic completely. To have extinguishers on an LAV or an APC and hopefully a tank, you know, once this DLC comes out, is going to be so different. I mean, you're going to see tanks on fire and they're going to, you know, extinguish themselves if they have that equipped. And guess what? They're probably going to take you out if you're in a tank and you were fighting them that whole time, because you're not going to have an extinguisher equipped. So that's the type of stuff that's, you know, when I say game changer, it's going to be things like that. You're not going to be able to react to that. You got to get used to it and figure out how to fight against it after that point.
All right. Another thing I noticed on Bandar Desert, when I was watching the AC-130 portion, when they're in the AA gun, you can see it out in the distance, an aircraft carrier. So it seems that there will be the U.S. side starts on the aircraft carrier, which I kind of like, but that also means there will most likely be the F-35 in the Bandar Desert, which I love.
That gave me a laugh, because I thought about all the people that don't like that airplane, especially since they haven't even figured out how to use the hover mode on it.
I only just figured out. That's why I like it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't remember when I figured it out, but in the past couple of weeks, you know, on my live stream and everything, I've been using that thing as practically a helicopter, you know, and I get like 10 or 15 kills before I even have to pull away, because they finally bring over an AA vehicle or a tank on Wake Island, for example, and, you know, they start shooting at me. But if you get the hang of the F-35, that airplane is a powerhouse, you know, for basically facing almost anything. You could take out a helicopter with it, you could take out the AA gun. I mean, you could flank an AA gun with it and just sit there and light it up. It'll take you about maybe even 10 seconds and you'll just destroy it without it even knowing what hit it. So I mean, the F-35 is a great vehicle, you know, just to say that for the US side, especially if it's going to be in Bandar Desert. We do know that there is going to be, I guess what you could call, water involved combat in that map, because they had mentioned it in an article sometime last week that due to the scale of Bandar Desert in this DLC, it's going to be so big that you are going to have smaller cities. You know, it's not just going to be an open desert and, you know, it's whoever gets to each other first in the tanks and all that. You are going to have small city areas, and there is a city that's on the shoreline of Bandar Desert. So hopefully that's not where the U.S. team could come in through, because I think that'll just make it really easy for people to defend right there and, you know, prevent you from landing anywhere. But then again, that's kind of like how Gulf of Oman works. But it's great to know that there's going to be those little city areas, and the fact that the U.S. team can spawn on the carrier, from what Infidel noticed. I have to give the trailer another look, because I didn't notice that myself.
I'm hoping that there will be LAVs available on the aircraft carrier, so you can come ashore in those instead of just boats.
Right. That's something I hate about some of the maps that are available in the vanilla Battlefield 3, because I'm pretty sure
Hard
even
Island
in
Rush.
Right. Oh, that's something totally different. I mean, I was thinking about Gulf of Oman. I think they really should have, instead of having, you know, what is it, 3 or 4 boats, you know, correct me if I'm mistaken or whatever, and then they have, I think you could spawn in an APC, correct, on the U.S. team, on Gulf of Oman?
No. Okay. There's one on the ground once you cap a certain flag, I believe, yeah.
Okay, well, that's my point, exactly, either way. I mean, I think they need to have those available more often instead of, you know, just boats. I mean, a boat is a sitting target out there in the water still, especially on a map like Gulf of Oman. And if it's a similar setup in Bandar Desert where you have to literally drive from, you know, a 500-meter distance or something like that from a giant aircraft carrier, and, you know, they expect you coming in nothing else but a boat or an air vehicle, it's super easy to defend against that. I think they need to add, you know, maybe even an Amtrak. As much as I hate that vehicle because it takes forever to freaking kill it, they could add one of those to
and you could easily get ashore.
Right. And, you know, at least, for example, an Amtrak, you have enough armor to make it to shore if they have that available for the U.S. team coming off of the aircraft carrier. But if not, I mean, if they do just boats again, I think that's the wrong way to do it. I hate how it's like that in Gulf of Oman and some of the other maps. You mentioned Karg Island. I think Karg Island is just ruined as far as the rush game mode goes, because, you know, I try to avoid that because the times that I've played it, I've practically never been on the attacking team, and the defending team on that map and that game mode is a nightmare because, you know, the attacking team on the U.S. carrier, in that case, it's a little overpowered. You know, they have a helicopter, they have the Thunderbolt, and, you know, they have boats, they have Amtraks, they have LAVs. If they get to the beach, I think they even have a tank or two.
The defenders have one tank and one airplane.
Yeah, that's it. And then most of the time, speaking of which, if you're on the defending team, guess what the enemies will do on the U.S. side? Most of the time, they'll steal that tank that you have available. So guess what? You're fighting a bunch of vehicles. You know, you're probably, considering we're playing with a bunch of Smurfs or something, you're only going to have about 5 engineers at most on your team, and, you know, that's how you get pummeled on that map. So that's why I avoid that map altogether, because you could give the U.S. team a bunch of vehicles and you know, ways to get to the island at that point, like they do in Rush Island. I mean, in Rush on Karg Island, sorry. And that's too much. That's excessive. My point is, I just want to be able to get into an Amtrak or an LAV of some sort if they are going to have an aircraft carrier in Bandar Desert. That's all I ask for. I mean, I don't like boats. I don't get into them. So I prefer to have some type of armor to make it last a little longer.
Rush Island.
Rush Island, yeah. New map, might as well guys, call it that, because I mean, if you're defending, you're just gonna get rushed by the
Rush
U.S.
Island.
Team.
New map, guys. You heard it here first.
Rush Island. Going back to the Armored Kill trailer, I mean, I'm gonna have this trailer looping for you guys during the visual version of the podcast. But I mean, it's amazing. Like I said, if you show this to anyone that doesn't play Battlefield 3, they are gonna play this game. I pretty much guarantee that, you know, on my behalf, I can tell you that they'll probably play it, because there's no game that has maps this large. You know, this trailer only has 2 maps in it, and there's still 2 more. Hopefully they're just as big, but it's amazing what they did with the maps, the layouts. You could see in the trailer, you know, there's some huge changes in terrain and environments. You know, you could go from fighting on a little city, I guess, or a town on the shore of a frozen lake, which Infidel will get into that now and how to defend it properly. But I just noticed in the trailer, you know, you watch it more and more, you notice they made like these little rock valleys where there's some conflict going on between an ATV and a growler chasing it, I believe is the vehicle that's chasing it. And, you know, you see they're shooting the mountainside and everything, and you see the rocks falling, you see the explosions. It's just a huge, they're huge maps, and it's so different depending on literally the difference in meters that you're standing in different positions on the maps, pretty much, because they did so many things with it on one single map. So it's going to be amazing to play on them. I would assume, you know, these fights are probably going to last at least 45 minutes on these type of maps in this DLC. But let's go back to Infidel and defending that Frozen Lake little town over there. How would you all defend right. it?
Well, I would personally, if a tank or something was getting close to me, I would just, you know, draw it towards the ice and hope it breaks through the ice.
Yeah, I mean, this was something.
Maybe toss a couple grenades to break the ice up a little bit, and it'll fall in a lot easier.
Yeah. Now we were talking about that off of the podcast, and we were, you know, exactly how Infidel just explained it. We hope you guys don't notice in the trailer what we're talking about. There's a frozen lake and some type of little, you know, a bunch of little shacks on the edge of the lake, and there's a growler driving on the lake, and he's just, you know, mowing down enemies. And it would be interesting to see. Again, this would also show off the immense capacity that the Frostbite 2 engine has. It would be great to see the fact that frozen lake could react to explosions and weight. You know, at least if there's a tank on it or an LAV, they could have some type of filter for that. And they won't be able to go on there because the ice will actually break and crack. And if you hit it with explosions or a jet crashes into it, whatever, it will make, you know, an impression in the frozen lake and it'll break apart or whatever you want to call it. But I think that would be awesome. That would be a huge different dynamic to defend that specific area, you know, to begin with.
Also on that map next to the frozen lake, I've noticed that the A flag is on one side and the B flag is on the other, so that lake seems like it's going to be a big barrier in between that you're going to have to get across.
Right, it's probably going to be a huge back and forth battle right there at that point. I noticed also in that same area, I'm pretty sure it was there at least, there's earlier footage going back to that APC that we were talking about, and it seems like that APC was approaching that same area next to the frozen lake, and it seems to be a heavily wooded area. Now, that's something I've always liked to have in a war game like this, because I love fighting, for whatever reason, in trees and, you know, in between wooded areas, and you have to keep your eyes open and keep checking your back, because you literally could have an enemy standing, you know, in between two trees or behind a tree even, and you won't even notice he's there. And it's a lot, you know, it's a thick environment. It's different from fighting in a city, you know, close quarters. And I like that. I like being able to, like, you know, rush through the forest and all of a sudden you come up on this, you know, this little town on the edge of the frozen lake, and they don't even see you coming because you had all that brush and all those woodland areas to cover you.
Okay, I was going to say something about you blending in, and you could just do what I do and go prone for the entire map. I want to see a ghillie suit so bad.
Oh, yes.
We talked about that in the first podcast, I think, and I just really want it. Killing me.
Yeah, that's one thing. Even coming from Bad Company 2, I understand that Battlefield 4 was a true sequel. I mean, sorry, Battlefield 3 was a true sequel to Battlefield 2. I'm talking about Battlefield 4, and it's not even out yet. But anyway, okay, fine. Battlefield 2 didn't have ghillie suits, and it came out, like, you know, 5 years ago, I guess, at least, or whatever. I don't see why they didn't put that in Battlefield 3. I don't see it as a balance issue. I don't see it as a, you know, an advantage or a disadvantage for other players and an advantage for the sniper. I don't see why they didn't put that. But yeah, they definitely need to add it. That's all I'm going to say about it, because it's, I feel like the recon class, especially nowadays, people in Battlefield 3 have this idea that you could run faster as the recon class. I don't know if that's true or not, but yeah, it's a skinny guy. He barely has any armor on, so it's a lot more difficult to hit you and everything. That's fine, but it's a sniper class. I mean, he really has no cover for himself. He has no ghillie suit. He has no thing that he could set up. I guess even a blind, you know, thinking about, like, a hunting game, I guess. He doesn't even have a blind to cover himself. Like, there's nothing for the sniper.
Yeah, okay, you said Battlefield 4, and since then I've been choking to death because I was drinking something while you said that.
I got Battlefield 4 on my mind, man.
You want to say bad?
No, I'm not. I can't say I'm excited for Battlefield 4, to be honest, because, you know, not because I don't know what they're going to put in it, but I have to say they are releasing it early, it feels like, because I feel like with everything they're going to end up adding in Battlefield 3, you know, if the DLC continues to be this large, and we'll see what the content drops involve, hopefully it involves new weapons and a lot more content, like the title says of it. But I'm really not excited for it. I'm excited for Medal of Honor, but a Battlefield 4 and a beta for it as well, I'm not really... I mean, I could care less right now. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, we have the trailer looping for you guys if you're watching this on YouTube, so hopefully you enjoyed that. I guess we'll try to have a special guest next week. What do you think, Infidel?
I think it'd be a good idea.
Remember, guys, the podcast is available on iTunes. Follow the All Random website to keep up with everything. Follow my live stream. I'll have all the links in the description of the YouTube video or the podcast. You know, I'll have it all available for you guys so you could easily see the links and visit the websites.
If you watch the stream a lot and you have gotten to know the people that play with Alec and you're watching this on YouTube, leave in the comments who you'd like to see as our special guest.
Right, definitely. And, you know, let us know also if you guys want us to talk about anything Battlefield related. I mean, it doesn't have to be about new content. We're down to talk about anything, really. You could show us some videos, I guess, and we'll talk about them. You could show us something that you found on the internet that has been leaked or whatever, if we don't know about it yet. I mean, you guys could send us stuff. Don't be afraid to give us ideas or whatever to talk about. But yeah, with that said, we could wrap this up. Thank you again, Infidel, for being here, because you're the main co-host. It's not like you wouldn't be here. And yeah, stay tuned, guys. Be sure to watch the next episode, which is going to be episode 4 already, which is pretty crazy. I mean, it feels like just yesterday we released episode 2, but that's because we did. It was on Saturday.
That's because it was just yesterday, man.
Yeah, but you know, we're on time with this one. It's Thursday. I don't even know what the date is. July 19th. There we go. And yeah, we'll catch you guys next week for episode 4. Thanks for listening.